Good evening. Welcome to Attraction Killers, Three Secrets That Men Wish That You Knew. Welcome to tonight's call. I'm Wendy Newman. I'm going to be here with you during this hour talking you through the attraction killers that some of you might know about, some of you have experienced firsthand, and they backfired when you thought you were doing a good thing. And some things that you might not have even known were a thing. So I really appreciate you being on this call with me tonight. We had about 450-plus women sign up for this class, which is phenomenal. Thank you. So if you're listening to this call later because you couldn't get on the line because they were full, hi and welcome. And if you're here participating live, hi and welcome. I want to take a second, as you can see, that we've got a pretty pristine and clear line right now. That's because all of you are on mute. I'd like to take a minute and open up the lines so we can all say hi to each other. And when I hear your voice and you say hi, it actually helps me breathe because I know I'm talking to a person instead of myself. So let's just take a moment so I can check in with you, just hear you say hello to me, and we can get this call rolling. That was epic. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now I can breathe and I can laugh and I can be with you because you're right there. Okay, so I'll keep us all except for me muted throughout the call, but I'll be able to check in with you and see if you're in the right place, see how we're doing, and I want to start to see if this really is a call for you to see if I can serve you. So one of the ways we're going to check in is by taking a poll, and if you've never been on a conference call with Maestro before, that this handy-dandy feature where I can see your name and you can weigh in. And I want you to weigh in by pushing 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, depending on what is the fit for you, what the scenario is. And I just want to start now. So hit number 1 if where you are in your life is you've been single for a while, and at this point you're either mad or feeling disappointed or you're irked. I want to be able to bring you hope. And to hit 2, if you're new to the whole dating scene due to like a divorce or a long-term relationship breaking up, and maybe what you might be feeling is overwhelm or nervous or scared. Or the third option is, are you married or coupled up or in a boyfriend-girlfriend situation? You're already coupled. Hit 3. And if you're not dating at all, if you're not engaging romantically, hit 4. And if you're not in any of those categories somehow, hit 5, just so you have another other option. I just want to check in and see where everybody is. Oh, cool, we have 5s. Look at that. There is another option from what I said. Okay, great. Just want to let everybody kind of know where we're sitting so far. It looks like of the women who weighed in, 22% of you have been single a while, and you are sick of it. Another 5%, so making up 27%, are women who are new to the dating scene again. And 25% are coupled or married. And then we've got the not dating and or whatnot remaining percentage. So looks like we are spread out across the board. We're in all different places. That's good for me to know. Now, the information I'm going to give you tonight, the three attraction killers, this is a free teleclass that I've designed for you, and really it's for you to get to know me and also for you to get to know PAX Programs. And so before I dive into information, I want to share a little bit about who PAX Programs is and who I am if I'm new to you, and we'll just go from there. I'll dive into topic after that. So PAX Programs, and you might know PAX Programs as Alison Armstrong or understandmen.com. PAX has been around since 1991, and that's when Alison, the founder of PAX, started studying men. She started studying men because she wanted to learn everything she could about them, so she didn't feel like they could one-up her, that she could have it all figured out, that she could get the best out of men or worst out of men so she could get to know the whole man. And so it wasn't the most altruistic reason at the time. It was almost the battle of the sexes, right? And she thought that men were simple, and it would just take a few months, maybe 3 months, to learn everything there was to know about men. And what she learned was amazing. And so the information that we teach at PAX is information from men about who men are. And what's really interesting is what she learned right away was it wasn't that she had to learn about all a man's flaws or all the bad parts to really know who he was, to get to know the con, you know, undo the con, uncover the con. What she realized is depending on who you are, you're going to get a different kind of man. I mean, you can have the very same man treat one woman like a sister and another woman like the help in not a lovely way, and another woman like a queen, consistently. Same man reacting to three different women three different ways. So instead of trying to figure out all the good and the bad about one person at a time, what she discovered is she could learn what brings out the worst in men and what brings out the best in men, so we can pay attention to how they're responding to us, which is way more effective. And I did this workshop in 2002, and it was really interesting because even though all the information I learned about men from men, I would have never been able to hear from a man. I just wouldn't have. I mean, men have been telling me that some of this stuff my whole life, I never could hear it. It didn't hit my radar. But it wasn't until another woman told me about men that I could really hear it and take it on and live it. And so that's sort of our model, that most of the company is women and we're teaching women about men. How to bring out the best in each other. And we do have workshops for men now too. She started leading workshops in 1995 because the information she had was just so good it had to be shared. And one of the things that I most love about our workshops is how life is so easy. It's just easy and workable. I'm all about ease and workability. So that's one of the things that I took away. And I'm going to take a minute to introduce me because we're women and we like to connect. You might want to know who you're talking to or listening to. So again, my name is Wendy Newman. I'm 48 years old. I've worked for PAX since 2002. I've been helping thousands of women over the course of those years. I've led hundreds of workshops, and I've been studying men ever since 2002. It's part of what we do at PAX as staff members is we study men also. We do our own research. And I came to PAX in 2002 when a 12-year marriage ended. I ended that marriage, and I took the workshop, the Queen's Code workshop, because I wanted to learn how to not screw men up again. I didn't want to screw up the next one. And I was so taken with the information, I started working for the company right away. And I thought, oh, this will be so simple. I'll be single for like 5 minutes because I have all this information, and I'll be a man magnet. And I was a man magnet, and it still took me a very long time to meet my partner, Dave. I'm not talking a couple months. I'm talking a while, like close to a decade. I made some classic mistakes. And I, during the course of meeting my partner, Dave, who he and I have been together for 3.5 years now, during that course of that time, I ended up going on 121 first dates. That's 121 different men. First dates, lots of second dates, third dates, relationship trying out, all that stuff. 121. It was a lot. I don't recommend it. And I wrote a book about it, and the book is called 121 First Dates. The full title is 121 First Dates, How to Succeed at Online Dating, Fall in Love, and Live Happily Ever After, Really. And he and I have a dog. We live in San Francisco. That's about all that you need to know because you're not here for that. You're here to find out about the three secrets men wish you knew. So I'm just going to dive right in. So how it's going to go tonight is I'm going to help stop the unconscious killing of man's attraction and attention for you. We're going to uncover the three secrets that men wish you knew. But partway through, I'm going to give you some information and a special deal for the Queen's Code tonight. And then I'm going to give you the most important of the three secrets. I'm going to save the best for last. And then after that, for those of you who are single, whether you weighed in on number one where you're single and sick of it, or whether you're single and new at being single, I have a special offer for you for an 8-week course called Dating by Design that I lead that is incredible. And it starts July 21st. So I'll be talking at the very end of the call for those of you who are single and want to stay on the line. At the end of this call, So at the end of the call, I'm going to do that. Hold on. Stand by. Here we go. Okay. Sorry, I got tripped there. So we're going to dive right in. I'm going to give you the number one attraction killer. And the number one is how your energy is either going to attract him, it's going to bring him in, or it's going to push him away. And what I want to talk about is masculinity and femininity, but I know those are two words, masculine and feminine, that we have very little access to. So I'm going to break it down in new ways for you, because femininity for some of us can feel gross, especially if we're an older generation where, you know, femininity just seems like fluff or baking cookies or pink taffeta or something. Right. So I'm going to break it down in a different way where you'll have power and access to it. And our masculinity is really important. It actually has us produce results in the world. So I'm not going to say that that's a bad thing, but I want to talk about it because, like, there are two different modes that you can choose to be in, because you're going to be getting different responses out of men depending on what mode you are. And I know that they're tricky to talk about, so you have access, so I'm going to help you with that. Now, when you're in your feminine mode, you're going to be more receptive. You want to think of your feminine power as magnetic. Marianne Williamson was talking about how the feminine, the receptivity, the listening is magnetic. It's what men fall for. It's what they gravitate to. When we're being in our masculine, or we're coming straight from work home to our husband, or if we're coming straight from work out for a date, for dating, when we're in that masculine mode, we're going to be powerful and dynamic. We're going to be a dynamo. We're going to be dynamic, which is also very attractive, but it's not magnetic. It sparks. It's interesting. It's dynamic, it's exciting, but it's not magnetic. It doesn't suck him in. So being in that frame of CEO mode that we can get into, that masculine mode that we can get into, in the beginning can feel dynamic and exciting, but then depending on what we do with it, it can begin to repel males. And how that works is what we put into it. So we come from this dynamic CEO mode, and then what we start talking about in that mode can shift everything. If we were in our feminine mode, in that magnetic, receptive mode, we'd probably be listening. We'd probably be spacious and gracious and chill, which is delightful, and it has its place. It's certainly not everything. What you want to watch for when you're in your masculine mode, yeah, go ahead, show up in that mode. You can plan a party. You can plan a life together. You can build things together. You can be dynamic. But what will flip the switch? What will have it go south when you're in that dynamic mode are things like competition or teasing, like that. So if you're single and you're on the call and listening, what that might look like is you might come right straight from work and you have produced results all day and you feel powerful and amazing and you're in your masculine and you show up and there's that dynamic excitement to get to know this powerful woman that's attractive, and he sits down to know her. And one of the things we'll do as a single woman is we'll start talking about how amazing we are because we want to impress them. And the trick is in the roles of men and women, in the dance of mating and dating, what really is happening if you stripped everything away on a first date is the masculine is trying to impress the feminine, and the feminine is trying to attract the masculine. In other words, you'll notice if you're on a date and he likes you, he'll be trying to impress you. And if you're on a date and you like him, you'll be trying to attract him. And you'll use every tool in your box, your intellect, your wit, your humor. You'll flip your hair back. You'll try and hope you looked beautiful enough tonight and that you wore the right lipstick or outfit or whatever. So in the masculine-feminine paradigm, the feminine attracts and the masculine impresses. Except when we show up on the date in our masculine mode, and it's still the same dynamic where a man is trying to impress, but a woman is trying to attract, but one of the tools she'll use to attract is trying to impress him. And it backfires because she's whipping out that tool to impress from her masculine just like he's doing, and she's using it in her feminine to try and attract him. So it's like dual modes happening at the same time. And how it can come out is, I'm so amazing, let me talk about all my accomplishments. And it can either look like competition, or it can look like, I'm way more amazing than you. Oh, you've been to 50 countries? I've been to more. I've been 50 times to more. I travel all over the world. You've been to how many countries? How many times a year do you get to Europe? What degree do you have? Oh, what school? What's your title? Because we're one-upping them. And we don't mean to. We think it's going to impress them. So it can be a common mistake we make when we show up in our masculine and we're coming from impressing and we're just too masculine impressing each other and butting heads. Best case scenario, a single woman will walk away with a client. He'll respect her. He'll find her dynamic, but he won't be magnetically attracted. There's no receptivity there. And for married women or for women who live or partner with somebody, how that shows up, you come home, you're dynamic, you're getting things done. If you keep that mode, in some circumstances, it can be delicious. You can plan family things together. You can build life and relationship and structure and vacation and schedules. It's great. But how it can go south for us is the attitude of, I do more than you. And we get into a proving mode. I've had a harder day. I've had a harder week. I'm doing this while I'm sick, and I'm doing 10 times more than you do because I'm a woman and I have more responsibility of this house and this family and this job. All you have to do is come home from work. It can be a real turnoff. So that competition and that teasing and that sparring, the jabby kind with a knife in it, very unlovely. It's how our energy will literally push him away. Doesn't attract him, it pushes him away. And it can happen in the dynamic at work. So at work, same thing. You come with your dynamic self. You're powerful. You're in your masculine. It's all great. You can build things. You can work together on a project with somebody. But we'll have the attitude of, I'm better than you. And let me show you. And sometimes it's a mistake to think that we can do that because we're trying to prove that we can do it just as well as I can or better. But what happens is they don't see team there. Instead, they see an opponent. And if you have the opportunity, you always, always, always want to have the men in your work think you're on the same team, not your opponent. And your masculinity isn't going to get you there. Your masculine, competitive, show-off parts of us aren't going to get us there. They're going to get him to treat you like another man, which is not lovely. You actually don't want him competing with you. You want him to have your back. You want him to be on your team. So the magnetic part, listening, not listening to talk next, but listening. The receptivity is feminine. The listening to who he is and honoring who he is and who he isn't is a very feminine trait. One of the things that I hear from a lot of women is that men are intimidated or threatened by them. They're not threatened or intimidated. They're put off by us. And they're put off by us because of everything I just talked about. They're not put off by us because of all we can accomplish. They're put off by us because of the attitude that comes with it. The I'm more amazing than you, the I do more than you, or I'm better than you. It's the proving that's a turnoff. Okay. I'll take questions at the end. I see hands up already. The second attraction killers, second attraction killer that men wish we knew, I'm going to now talk about what makes us the old ball and chain. And it has men not be attracted. It has them not respect us. It has us be totally annoyed with us. So I'm going to talk about three things that make us the old ball and chain. One of them is this lovely cultural phenomenon that we live in where once he's our for sure fiancé, definitely when he's our husband, and probably even for some of us when he's our boyfriend, we own him. We own his time. We own his weekend. We own his schedule. When we're married, we own who he goes out with and for how long and where and when he's coming home. And, oh, no, you're not going with Jeff over the weekend to play golf. Or what do you mean you're going to be biking on Sunday? Aren't you biking on Saturday? Oh, no, 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 no. We act like slavery isn't over. And we don't mean to be bad women. We're not bad women doing this. We're being efficient. There's so much to do. You know, we own a house together. We're married. There's all this yard work and there's all this the children's needs and you're the one that has to do the majority of the work to make everything work in the whole house. So you get to say. You get to say what everybody's part is since you're carrying the load of it. This is part of ball and chain, owning each other. So there are ways in which that you can still get what you need. Everything on your honey-do list that you need done, you can still get that needs list done, and it can be done even more powerfully without owning his time, without acting like you own his schedule. Another thing that has us be the old ball and chain is not understanding that they need alone time, and really, so do you, that we need time apart from each other to restore ourselves, to be great and giving and loving towards each other. You want to think about a man as this, you know, in his body, he's got this body that's a vessel, right? And in the vessel, you put food in to make it run well, and, you know, hopefully you get some exercise in there to keep it strong. And you want to think about that vessel as also needing more than just food and exercise and water and sleep. You want to think about it needing that tank that they have, that whole body tank. They have different tanks that need to be filled up. And one of the tanks that needs to be filled is generous, loving partner ready to give you everything you want. Because you might notice if you're around a man who doesn't have generosity of spirit because he's too worn out, or that he doesn't have any space to give you anything, he's not very fun to be around. probably pretty cranky, maybe even mean. And we both need things. You need it too. Same thing for you. If you don't have the capacity to have any generosity, you might be mean or quiet or stifled or grouchy. So you want to consider that what a man needs is he needs space to show up for you with a full tank, to be in a mode where he can give. And when a man who cares about you is around you, he's in give mode. Men love to give. They are givers. They are providers, and they want to provide what's needed. But he needs to get that tank filled first so he has something to give. And where he's going to get his tank filled is not with you generally. It's usually away from you. And it's not because he doesn't love you or care about you. It's because that's what fills his tank. So sometimes we make the mistake, especially when we're younger, that we think, oh, you're going to go do that instead of being with me? You're going to go play golf with your brother Jeff instead of spending Saturday with me? Don't you love me? Don't you want me to come with you? He loves you. He needs to go do that instead of being with you. He needs to do that first, so he has the capacity to give to you. And it's one of the things that some women miss, especially most of us when we're younger. We learn later that alone time is a good thing because we need it too. The more as we age, the more we go into our masculine brain, we understand. And the other thing that makes us the old ball and chain is we get in the way of what they need. So besides that alone time, we might get in the way of what he needs, whether it's we don't want him to go play golf with Jeff, his brother, but one of the things he might need is he needs that time to clear his head and spend time with family. Or we don't want him to get up on Sunday morning and go for that run because there's the New York Times crossword and snuggling in bed and coffee and yum. And we'll keep putting what we want in front of what they need. And sometimes we get in the cycle with them where we're putting something we want in front of something that they need, not realizing that we're blocking something that they need. Men will break up with women if they are with a woman who can't honor what he needs. If she keeps getting in the way and interrupting the thing he needs over and over and over, and it's a core need for him, yeah, he's not going to stay. He's not even going to talk about it. He's just going to be gone. You know, whether that be food or exercise or being with a certain person, like that. There's something else I want to tell you about. Is that going to be later? Let me look. Hold on. Yes, I'm going to cover that last. Okay, good. And then there's the third thing, but before I give you the third thing, I want to talk to you a little bit about PAX and what I'm here to offer you tonight. Because at PAX, we want to share our world with you, and pretty much everything I've talked about so far, there are elements of that throughout the PAX program workshops. So we have a special opportunity for you tonight if you haven't done the Queen's Code that I'm going to give to you, and I'm going to give you a code so you can get the discounts I'm going to talk about. So if you're interested, you should grab a pen now. But if you use the code, you'll be able to get a $124 discount off of the actual registration tuition, and then you'll also get $261 worth of bonuses. And one of the bonuses that we offer, Allison did a really great job of packaging the bonuses with the course that would make the most sense. It'd be like accessorizing really well, right? So that one of the accessories to this course is a downloadable course called Loving More by Sacrificing Less. And Loving More by Sacrificing Less is a one-day workshop that was live that she recorded. I was in attendance. It was pretty awesome. And it addresses a lot of what we're talking about. You know, some of the things that we sacrifice for in our lives. We sacrifice in areas where if men knew what we were sacrificing for, if they knew what it cost us, they wouldn't ask us to do that. There are ways that we are in our relationship where we take on way more than what's needed. If he knew what that was costing us, he'd never let us do it. So it's a really great, one of the great accessories. So the code that I'm about to give you gives you both the $124 discount, and it gives you $261 worth of bonuses, and that code is WN, like for Wendy Newman, WN, dash, and you have to put in the dash. It's annoying, but there it is. And then it's 914, WN-914. And how it works is all you need to do is go to registeruNderstandMen.com. You'd pick your date and your city. And then if you wanted a payment plan or to pay in full, you'd choose. And then when you go to checkout, that you'd enter the code WN-914 in the promo code section. And then when you update the cart, that's when it shows you the discount. So it's either going to deduct $124 off the full payment, making that tuition only $725. Or if you decide to choose a payment plan, it's going to deduct $124, and so the first payment would be $1. And then there'd be six payments after that of $125 every 31 days. And we have a payment plan because we don't want to stop anybody from registering. We don't want money to be the thing. And what's cool about our payment plan is it's not like layaway. You can actually just make a payment tonight if you wanted to register for a course in the future. And even if the course was next week, you could take it and then finish paying off the payment plan. You don't have to have it all the way paid off before you do the workshop. So you could just get a payment plan started and then do it whenever it suited you. And the 261 in bonuses that I was talking about, one is the Loving More by Sacrificing Less, and that's normally $89. That's free. And then you also get some more support. We give three more hours of a live teleclass. It's normally $125, and that has topics 1 hour for 3 weeks, and one of the topics is how to change a man, and the second topic is bringing out the best in men, and the third topic is you win when he wins. And then the other thing you get is a one-on-one coaching session with a certified Queen's Code workshop leader. And that's normally $48 to $75 depending on the coach fee. And that's free. And you can pick any of the coaches you want, even if their rates are higher. So the total value package is at least $1,110 or a bit more if you pick a more expensive coach. But you get it all for $725. So that's 35% off. And if you give us 2 days of your life, we're going to transform your relationship with men forever. And one of the things that I love so much about PACS is they give you 100% money-back guarantee. You don't like it? You did all the work? We'll give you all your money back. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the last attraction killer, the thing that men wish you knew. I'm now going to talk about what can turn the two of you from happy partners into adversaries. There's two different things that are probably the most important in my mind. And the first one, well, I'm going to tell you a story so you can see it. The first one is we pick on things that matter to men that we would never have guessed in a million years will shut him down. They'll just shut him down. And not only will it shut him down, and it'll seem like, I swear, it'll seem like nothing to you. You'll be so shocked. You'll be reconciling your whole life when I tell you this. Like I was when I learned about this. Oh my God, I could see every relationship with a man in my life. It seems like nothing, and it's such a big, overblown sometimes response to what seems like nothing. But the end result is you're going to have a man who's going to lock down his heart and not trust you for anything because you're not trustworthy. That's worth knowing, right? I'm going to tell you that right now. So I want you to imagine in the United States, in the West, in the wild, wild West, gold rush era, okay? The old mining times. If we were all moving together to a very new mining town where, you know, the old Wild West was just being built up, if we settled in a little Wild West mining town, what there would be is there would be some sort of fort or bank or something, maybe in the center of town, you know, near the saloon and the brothel and the store, the general store, and it would be where all the gold is, all the treasure, all the gold. And then far out on the very outskirts of the town, there would be a lookout post, an outpost. And way far away from where the center of town is, way far away from where the gold is, are these outposts where lookout guys would be watching for bandits and robbers to be coming in to find the gold, and that they would either shoot them down, right, before they got to town, or they would alert the town that the bad dudes were coming. They would alert the town, it's time to batten down the hatches, batten down the gold, make sure everything's secure, make sure there's a wall around it with people and guns, and that they were there to protect what was theirs. Right? Can you picture that? Raise your hand if you can picture that by hitting one while I take a drink of water. Okay, great. Thank you. So there they are, out on the outposts, alerting the entire town to batten down the hatches. It's not safe. Men have outposts. They have these outward expressions that are stretched far away from their heart. They have these outward expressions of who they are in the world. And if we pick on them, we're not safe. They need to batten down the hatches. They need to not show us who we are, who they are. They need to not show us who they are to us, because we have just proven ourselves as the enemy. Unsafe and untrustworthy to get access to the gold, the heart. And they could be the most silliest things. You can learn about what a man's outpost is by looking at his life and listening to what he talks about and seeing what's on his desk, seeing what he has magazines of, being who he admires. If you could put the word Mr. in front of it, it would describe him. Mr. Golf, Mr. Guitar Collector, Mr. Record Collector, Mr. Baseball. And we make fun of them, especially if they're not our thing. Mr. Hunter, Mr. Car Guy. Right? Sometimes we pick at them, and sometimes we just straight out make fun of them. I'm going to tell you a story. I didn't know about this when I was 22 years old, but I did a really good job. I didn't always do a good job with every man throughout my life, but in the case of my beloved now ex-husband, I did a very good job. When I met him, he had something like over 1,000 records. And when we moved in together, I looked for the one bedroom and the bathroom, and would there be enough room on the living room wall to house all those records without a window, blocking it, you know, blocking a window. And so every place we ever moved together, right on down to when we were buying real estate together, my number one consideration was, can the living room wall hold his wall of vinyl? And it was fine in our 20s, and somewhere around my 30s, early 30s, my girlfriend started complaining. They said, isn't it time he grows up? Isn't it time that he moves those records down to the basement? No, it's who he is. If I had done that, I would have become the enemy. Now, when I was single, thank God I already knew about this. But even knowing about this, it hilariously had slipped through the cracks of my memory when I was looking at someone's bedroom who I was dating. When I went to his house and I saw his bedroom, I just thought he decorated badly and I didn't think anything of it. And it wasn't until 8 months later that we were at an A's baseball game. And he's sitting next to me and he's so delighted. It was my first baseball game ever and I was in my 40s. And he's telling me all the things about baseball. He's telling me who all the pitchers are and who all the players are and who's being traded and how a ball goes 90 miles an hour and the hitting happens and the scoring happens. And he's literally elated and talking to me a million miles an hour in my ear as we're eating hot dogs and drinking beer and watching my very first baseball game. And as he's talking, I start to picture his horribly decorated bedroom. And in his horribly decorated bedroom, on his mantle, there are 6 bobblehead figurines of A's baseball players. And on his armoire, there's an A's blanket and a hat, an A's hat. And then across the room, yeah, I never noticed. I just thought it looked bad. No, he's Mr. A's baseball. And thankfully, I never picked at him. Thankfully, I was, you know, suave enough to not stick my foot in my mouth. And it doesn't mean that you have to be run over by his outpost, by his thing. You might need to make deals around it. And for you, if you're single, maybe his thing may be a deal breaker for you. You know, maybe if his thing is wild boar heads on your living room wall, that's never going to work for you. And if he can't do a garage or man cave or office, then you're out. Right? So that could be a deal-making situation. It could be something that you make a deal where he has it and you get to decorate. And he has to get to have his collection of whatever it is in his office. Like that. But what they're really looking for is for us to respect it. It doesn't have to dominate your living room wall like it did in my marriage, but I didn't mind it. In that story, I didn't mind it. If it was something I would have minded, like boar's heads on my wall, I would have made a different deal or we would have had it be a deal breaker. And what I'm trying to show you in all of this is that all they need is to know that who they are is respected. And if we pick at or make fun of the things that are important to him, he's never going to show us who he is. He's not going to be your happy partner. He's going to be your adversary. But the number one thing that will make him your adversary faster than anything else is the thing that we do to get them to move. The thing that we do to get them to do the things that we need them to do. One of the things that we think is going to get them to do what they need to do to help us in our life is we'll criticize. Because as women, we hate criticism. We don't like it. We're not good at it. We don't like receiving it. But we'll take the criticism. We won't like it, but we'll take it. If I told you you didn't look good in a particular color, that would probably stick with you for a long time. If I told you that dress that you wore last Friday was not very flattering on you, chances are I would never see you in that dress again. You wouldn't even consider the source. I was once criticized by a crazy homeless person, and I still have that criticism in my head to this day, like it means something. For women, criticism goes straight to the heart. There's no filter. There's no considering the source. Maybe when we're in our masculine mode and we're at work, we can do a little better. But for the most part, we take it, whether we wanted to or not. So we think it's going to be effective with men, that they'll take it. Have you noticed they don't take it? Have you noticed that it actually gets in the way of us actually getting what we most need from them, which is usually to move and to get things done? Yeah. So criticism is a relationship killer. It's a relationship killer. And I can give you another way. If you come do the Queen's Code with me, I can give you another way to get what you need from men. And if you don't ever do the Queen's Code, all you need to know is, yeah, that tool, that criticism tool, it's not working. You're actually wielding that tool against yourself, and you're doing more damage. So pick something else. Pick a different thing. Don't pick criticism. So I hope these tools were helpful for you tonight. I hope you got value out of tonight. And I want to take a few minutes and answer some questions. So if you have questions, hit one. Nancy, you have the mic. Go ahead.
This is a question. And the thing that I think I do is kind of be helpless and maybe panicked about something going on in my life.
Okay.
And I kind of think that pushes men away. I have someone in particular in mind right now. And does that fall under one of these categories? Is that something completely different?
It's completely different, and I'm happy to talk to you about it. And I'm going to talk, my temptation is to drill into the facts, but I kind of don't want to with you because I think I can give you both some sort of sweeping generalizations of the category and then drill into a little bit even if it doesn't quite fit, and it'll benefit more of the women. So is it okay if I do that?
Sure.
Okay. So if you're panicked about something, a man's natural default mode will be to fix the problem. Now, we all know this because it bugs the crap out of us when we've had a bad day and we come home and we just need to launch into the story so we can get it out of our body and it gets unstuck. But then right in the middle of telling the story about our horrible boss, and he starts to say, well, did you ask him about it? Like he starts, and you just want to punch him because it's like he's taking all that stuff you've just unloaded and that you were feeling better about and crammed it back down your throat. That's a natural thing. So they're going to want to fix a problem. If you're panicked, he's going to want to fix a problem. He might start suggesting things if that makes you irked or angry, which is a natural response for women when they're just trying to share. That will push him away. Or if, again, that natural response is to solve the problem, but if you're spinning out, he might not have access to help you solve the problem. And he might not be able to see a way to win with you. And if he can't win with you, he'll be gone. Because if he can't figure out how to get you to find or to make you happy, he won't stay. And if you're spinning out, chances are he's not able to access that because you're not going to let him because of the panic mode that you're in. Does that make sense? Is that what you're speaking to?
You sort of.
All right, give me a little bit more so we can noodle with it.
Okay, so there's someone I've known for a long time, like 12 years, longer.
Okay, and no detail, just tell me the point of it.
And he's been enormously helpful to me in my life. But in January, I had to have eye surgery. It was way more serious than I knew it was going to be in terms of the recovery. And I panicked about money. And, well, first of all, I needed somebody to pick me up. He couldn't pick me up because of something else he had scheduled. And then I needed to go to the doctor, and he couldn't do that day. So you see what was happening there. Like, I needed his help. He couldn't do it. I needed somebody to help me. He couldn't do it.
Yep.
And then I was really panicked about money, and he's in a situation right now where he couldn't do that.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop you just for the sake of time. So, yeah, basically what was happening is he couldn't win with you. He couldn't win. He couldn't help you, which is going to be that default to provide, and he couldn't. So he couldn't win with you. He couldn't win to pick you up. He couldn't win to loan you money. He couldn't win to handle things for you. He knew he wasn't set up to win. Now, is that your fault or problem? No, absolutely not. It was a circumstance. But that's the cause and effect of what may have pushed him away. It was more than he could handle, and he couldn't win at what the task was at hand. Not his fault, not your fault. It just is so. It's 6 o'clock. I really want to take one more person's question. If you want more for this, I'm happy to meet with you one-on-one. It's a coaching call, but I'm happy to dig in if you need it. You can find me on the PAX website. And Christy, you have the mic.
Perfect.
Christy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks so much. I am one of your graduates from the Dating by Design. Fabulous course. I hope lots of people will sign up, so thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for the plug.
In your book. My question is really simple. I, like my sisters, we try to help. We help. When it's not invited, we just help. We're trying to help.
We're very helpful, aren't we?
Help me not help. Hopefully this resonates with some of your other listeners, but yeah.
Yeah, so you mean that just that knee-jerk helping response you have?
Oh, yeah. Or I'm just going to volunteer. Like, oh, this is a good idea, without it being asked. So I guess you just close and listen for the well. And
yeah, and you might just out yourself. You know, my partner, thankfully, my partner, Dave, has done a PAX workshop called Understanding Women. It's also known as a Queen's Code Challenge, where he knows the inside scoop of what my brain is. He knows that I'm a helpful one. He knows that I'm a pleaser by design. And so he'll say, what do you want? And I'll do a pleasing thing or a helping thing or something like that, and he'll look at me sideways and go, really? Really? But if you can't get your guy to a course like that to get the inside scoop, you just want to tell him. You know, I'm a helper, and you got to call me on it if you know me well enough to know that this is probably not something I should be signing up for. And tell your friends.
Remind me, you're helping.
Yeah.
Well, lately it's been the spaghetti brain versus the waffle brain, and so that's kind of working, like joking a bit that, you know, noodling over something. I'm like, no, you're waffling because, you know, they have the waffle brain.
I haven't heard that. That's very cute.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that we have brains like a bowl of spaghetti, like a plate of spaghetti, mm-hmm. like all over the map and very distracted, and one thing just leads to five other things that weren't really connected. And they're waffle, very, as you know, segmented and focused and goal-oriented. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a beautiful visual.
It is a good visual. Thank you for that.
Feel free to rob and duplicate. It's okay.
Yeah.
So helping. So thank you for inviting my friends. That's a good suggestion because I have a couple of friends who are PAX grads, and that'll help.
Well, even your friends that aren't PAX grads, just tell them, as you know, I'm a very helpful one, and feel free to call me on it. And it's another thing I say to Dave, it's, you know, when he looks at me sideways, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm super helpful, right? This is helpful, huh?
It's so like, annoying.
No.
So it's like they can't think on their own, and I don't want to disrespect that. Or like so often it's the thought process that's going on in their brain that isn't fast enough for us.
Right. Exactly.
And I want to respect that process.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Maybe that's the way I'll do it. Thank you so much.
Out yourself. You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks, Christy. Okay. All right. We're at 4 after, so I got to get y'all off the phone. So I'm going to open up the lines one more time so we can all say goodnight to each other. Here we go. Everybody has a mic. Good night, everybody.